of Big 550 KTRS.
10:38. Normally on Mondays, Dick Weiss from WeissWright.com joins us in the 11 o'clock hour, but we've pushed him up a little bit because we'll be talking with... normally we bump him for some good-looking women, Shandy Finnessy and the like. Today, even better-looking. Rick Majerus, new head coach of the SLU Billikens, will join us next hour. So we asked Dick if he'd come in a couple minutes early. He's more than happy to. Dick Weiss, former editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch, 20 years in the Metro section. He is with us. His website is WeissWrite.com, WeissWrite.com. Dick, welcome to the show, my friend.
Hey, thanks. I just want to congratulate you, though, on just before I got here, I was listening to your broadcast, and I just want to thank you for the driveway moment that you gave everyone.
Which was?
Great racking up that tenant actuality. Is that what they call it?
Yeah, very good.
Business?
Very
actuality.
Good. You got the lingo going.
I almost didn't make it here because I was staying in my car to see if you could get that on the air.
And, it's riveting radio, McGraw.
When we submit your application for the Hall of Fame, well, you know, a paragraph about that.
You do what you can in this business, and sometimes you know lightning. You catch lightning in a bottle, I guess.
Yeah.
All right, you helped cover the Daryl Kyle incident up in Chicago.
Yeah, it's a strange thing because I am not a sports writer. I've written a few. Sports stories in my time, but when Daryl Kyle died, you know, we learned of it kind of on short notice, and we needed to get some people up there on the news side to help with the coverage, and the sports guys were very busy, and so I flew up, and a friend of mine, Jeremy Kohler, is a police reporter, flew up within hours, and we got there, and Jeremy didn't even have the time to pack his clothes, and so we ended up going to Walgreens to buy him something to wear the next day. And we went to the hotel, the team's hotel, which is in downtown Chicago, and I think they were staying at the Drake, if I'm not mistaken. And the thing that I remember about it, two things I remember. One is how accessible and gracious the Cardinals were at in their time of grief. They stopped in the lobby, and they talked to us and shared memories of Daryl and what they were going through. And the other thing I remember was the game, the day that they learned that Daryl had died, that game was postponed, but then they played the next day really at the insistence of Daryl's wife, who said the game must go on. Her name was Flynn.
Right.
And so they played. They did not play well, they lost 8-3, but it was a very strange atmosphere because there was the Chicago Cubs and the Cardinals have a very fierce rivalry. And so the game was different in some ways, not as much heckling as you might think that would go on. And the one thing that I remember was that a young man had chosen that day, that game, to propose to his girlfriend, and he had a card section behind the dugout. And he went ahead and did it anyway.
Really?
And in a way, it was a very sweet.
He was a Cardinal fan.
Nice, I believe so. And he proposed. She accepted.
Well, that's good.
And that was great. And you know, the Cub Cardinal rivalry, I think, is not as fierce in some way. It's intense, but it's not the way that the Yankees Boston rivalry is,
right.
Or actually the Cubs White Sox. People in Chicago, even though. The White Sox, if you're a Cubs fan, even though the White Sox are part of your town, not even in your league, they will root against the White Sox.
Right.
They are for anybody who is playing the White Sox.
Well, and I think in St. Louis, there are mixed marriages. A Cardinal fan will marry a Cub fan.
That's true.
But in New York, a Yankee fan will not marry a Red
right.
Sox fan.
It's like the Sunni and the Shia.
Right, yes. Yeah. but as for yesterday, I just watching that news conference and listening to it over and over again, you just see La Russa bring up all those feelings about Daryl Kyle, and he's like the third rail. He just is so afraid to go there again.
Yeah, it's got to be incredibly painful for him going through it once. I had I don't know if this is comparable or not, but I'll just mention it. I had a couple of friends of mine who died of AIDS.
Right.
And going through it the first time is a searing experience, and going through it again, it just levels you. You can almost can't deal with it.
Right. But the Cardinals, again, yesterday, I thought, you know, they couldn't handle adversity any better with Bill DeWitt and Walt Jocketty and Tony Russo. But, I mean, you really saw the raw emotion. We played a clip from Jim Edmonds. It's just a sad story, I guess.
Yeah, and the interesting thing is, when you go back to the Daryl Kyle situation, there are just three players left on the Cardinals from that time. It just shows you how transitory baseball is. You have your moment in the sun,
and
there's a turnover in the team. But things like that stay with the team. The Cardinals have, of course, a grand tradition, and things are handed off. A legacy is handed off from one to another, and Daryl Kyle's memory remains. Josh Hancock was not as powerful a figure in that clubhouse as Daryl Kyle was, but those players will take something from that.
Yeah, all right. In terms of something else, not to say that nothing's more important than life and death, but news goes on, and over the weekend, Tony La Russa, before any of this Josh Hancock stuff happened, got into a beef with the Post-Dispatch. Friday's sports section had an article about the Cubs not winning the World Series since 1908, and the headline was "No Tinkers, No Evers, No Chance" in huge blue lettering, in which he took objection to. At the news conference after the game, Joe Strauss, and I'm going to play it for you here, it's about a minute, Joe Strauss tries to ask Tony La Russa a question, oddly enough, about Josh Hancock, I believe, in which Tony La Russa refuses to answer questions from the Post-Dispatch, and then Bernie Mikulas gets involved. I want to play for you a portion of that news conference from Friday after the game.
Hancock available?
You change papers, Joe? I mean, please.
Joe did.
You were the dispatch too.
I don't decide what stories are in the paper.
Yeah, I know.
I do a job.
You know what?
You don't control the rest of the world. We don't control our own newspapers.
No, I know. But I tell you what, I have a right to state an opinion. And when there's a cheap shot against the Cubs, I don't want to be a part of it. And I want them. I want everybody to know that the St. Louis Cardinals and their manager have an absolute disregard for that.
Give your opinion of the story. You can say it's crappy.
You're writing what I say. If you want to write what I say.
You don't have to boycott questions.
Yeah, what else am I going to do? That's one way for me to state it.
You call the editor and complain, and you chew the editor.
Well, he was there yesterday. I said I thought he'd come down and see me. He didn't come down and see me. So the editor. Yeah, I know it's the editor makes those decisions, but I have a couple of ways to do it. The one way I'm going to do it is I'm not going to answer questions from the Post-Dispatch. If you disagree with that, write that you disagree with it. I don't care. I really don't. What I care is that I don't put my stamp any way, shape, or form on a cheap shot like that to a major league organization. I'm saying it. I'm saying it right now. You're recording it. You can write it. But I chose not to talk to the Post-Dispatch, and that's what I'm going to do. Anybody got anything else? It's a cheap shot.
Well, you're lowering yourself.
I'm lowering myself?
Putting on a big show.
How else am I going to let the world know that I don't like what you guys did?
Why do you need to let the world know?
Because they came into our town playing our ball club. That's why.
If you have a problem,
and we're associated with
it. If you have a problem, you should call someone.
How am I going to call it?
Grandstanding. Well,
grandstanding?
Yeah, it is.
Well, what did you guys do in the newspaper today? Did you grandstand the Cubs?
I had nothing to do with that.
That was from the game Friday night after the game. That was Bernie Mikulas and Tony La Russa getting into it. Now, I will say, after the game, Bernie Mikulas appeared on Mike Shannon's show, live from Shannon's here on KTRS, and talked about that and said that right immediately following that, Bernie Mikulas and Tony La Russa went into his office and had it out and sort of made amends and sort of decided to figure out where each other came from. And as Bernie told Mike Shannon Friday night, everything he thinks is okay with him and Tony La Russa. But I wanted to play that for Dick Weiss, editor of the Post-Dispatch for 30 years, no longer affiliated with him. These things happen all the time, don't they? It just so happens that a microphone picked this up.
Yeah, what seems to happen with increasing frequency is that when reporters get into arguments or disputes with the people they cover, it's now getting out on the air.
Right.
And that was a very infrequent occurrence before. You think back a long time ago, something a little bit more serious. Dan Rather got into it with George Bush,
right.
and that really stuck out. I think if I were Bernie's editor, if I were the editor, just an editor in general, dispensing advice, is I would say, as a reporter, you need to be in your public when you are out in public to be dispassionate and as clinical as you can be. And if somebody feeds you, says that you took a cheap shot or whatever, you know, say, I'm sorry you feel that way.
Right.
And ask your next question.
Right. Don't become part of the news story.
Right. And Bernie increasingly, or over the years really, has been the story a number of times for one reason or another. He took some shots. In this case, I hold him blameless. Really, he took some shots at Father Biondi.
Right, not too long ago.
And Father Biondi, at a press club event not too long ago, got up and made what he thought was a funny remark. He said he was going to announce who the next coach was, and he said it was going to be Bernie Miklas.
Right.
And that the joke kind of fell flat, but you could tell that he was peeved. And, well, you know, if you're a columnist and you're provocative, I suppose you're not doing your job unless you raise the hackles occasionally.
Right. Does Tony La Russa have a point? Major League team comes in here, big headlines, no chance. He doesn't have to speak to the Post-Dispatch, but you really want your manager to talk to your lead newspaper.
Right. I think... that he doesn't have a point in that this is a sports page, and on a sports page you write, there's plenty of room for opinion, and you say what you want to say. That it wouldn't be something that would obviously come out of Tony La Russa's mouth, and he wouldn't want to dignify it or represent it. He's got a temper, and it rubbed him the wrong way. Lou Piniella, I guess, is a kind of a friend of his, and
right.
He likes to play. He's all about, or likes to say anyway, he's all about sportsmanship.
Right.
But, you know, you're talking to the guy who wrote a column or a story once saying that the Cardinals ought to trade Mark McGwire just before he was going to set the Cardinals' all-time home run record.
You wrote that.
I wrote that story. and in fact, it was interesting because Bernie went on the radio after that came out and disassociated himself from me. So,
you know, and to finish all this up, Lou Piniella held a news conference yesterday in which he said some very compassionate things about the Cardinals and Tony Russa and the Josh Hancock story. So as much of a rivalry as there is still a common bond among baseball players and managers.
Absolutely.
All right. Dick Weiss, we'll be back in a minute, wrap things up with him. One Dick Weiss of WeissWright.com, also editor of the St. Louis Post-Dispatch for 30 years, the Metro editor for 20 years. So he brings a bunch of insight and history to topics that we wouldn't normally get. So we thank him for joining us here. His website is Weiss. Right.com. And Dick, did you want me to plug something?
The press club breakfast? The press club is having an event, a timely event, I'd say, in the wake of the Don Imus thing. They're going to be talking about issues of race and diversity in the media and how it's been handled at a breakfast at the Seven Gables Inn.
Right.
At what have I got there, McGraw?
26 North Merrimack Avenue, Clayton. 8:30 to 10:15 Thursday, May 10th.
May 10th, and you can go to stlpressclub.org and make a reservation. And I think it's about $10 for the breakfast, and you will not go away disappointed. Ray Hartman is moderating the panel, and Sylvester Brown of the Post Dispatch will be there, along with Karen Aristi of the Anti-Defamation League, and Aisha Sultan, who is a reporter also for the Post-Dispatch, and it should be a great program.
All right.
People turn out for it.
Good. 8:30 to 10:15 Thursday, May 10th, and the website again is STL Press Club?
STL Press Club, all one word, .org.
There you go. All right. Let's talk about this D.C. madam. ABC News comes out today and says that the 2020 is going to do a blowout piece on Friday. This is the story where the D.C. madam went to court. She wanted to sell the names in her little black book, which seems to be not so little. The judge wouldn't let her, so she hands it over to ABC News. ABC News has now, I guess, done some checking on it, and they're going to release and have a big presentation on Friday. Salacious. Big time salacious. Is it news?
Oh, yes. In fact, you know, you had me on here to put things in kind of perspective. Yeah. And I think basically going back and thinking about this over the years, it's a Cuban Missile Crisis all over again, I think. It's being played out over a number of days. There are people, there's a crisis atmosphere in Washington. Life as we know it could change. Kennedy had a secretary named Lincoln, and Lincoln had a secretary named, you know, it's just, there's so many comparisons there. But seriously, the thing that concerns me is that this will become an obsession and use up hours and hours of broadcast time. Brian Ross is a crack investigative reporter.
Right.
And, he's off on this, thing into finding out who's gotten massages and who's gotten sex and hours of this when, you know, I'd rather he be doing an investigative report on port security or, you know, the transportation system in the United States. And, you know, we'll have hours and hours of this. You may remember that just before 9-1-1, what were we obsessed with?
Gary Condit.
Gary Condit, Chandra Levy.
Right.
You know, bang. So, you know, if you're superstitious, that worries me.
But there's a certain amount of, you certainly have to cover this. I mean, you don't know whose names are in there. I mean, there might be some prominent names.
Oh, yeah, you can't ignore it now.
Right.
And the question that media outlets will have, and that ABC still has, is, you know, at what point does a name get mentioned? And if you mention one, don't you have to mention them all? And there are, what, ten? Thousands?
Yeah, well, 10 to 15,000 names in the book. Right.
And in a way, for anybody who happened to have done some business with this man, I guess if they release them all, they'll have some cover because the spotlight won't shine perhaps too brightly on any one person unless, you know, it happens to be Captain Kangaroo or something.
Right. Well, don't say that. Captain Kangaroo has a St. Louis connection, and he didn't visit prostitutes or get massages. So, but
to our knowledge.
But in this situation, it isn't so much the name. It's more of the title. Because no one's ever heard of Richard Tobias. He just resigned. But we know him as the Deputy Secretary of State. So it's not the name, it's the title that is going to get the press.
Tobias has a record of preaching abstinence.
Right.
And the interesting thing that I learned as I was listening to the coverage was that Brian Ross said that he called Tobias. He wasn't sure that he was going to use Tobias's name in his report. He was just checking things out. And then Tobias, you know, sort of acknowledges that he did have some contact and, as he says, he had some gals give him a massage, and then he resigns even before they really outed him. So, you know, if he had to do over again, he might have done it differently, I would suspect.
Well, but according to Richard Tobias, this Deputy Secretary of State, he just said he had legal massages. He just called up for a massage after working hard all day.
And I think, you know, the sad thing about this is that now any male who has gotten a massage, it will be the doubt, suspicion,
will be
cast on these people.
I will say this. Every time somebody says, why don't you get a massage, I always ask, are you talking a legal one or an illegal one? Because massage is, you know, a massage means different things to different people.
It has connotations as opposed to exfoliation, which Victoria was just talking about. Nobody, Victoria, tell us about your exfoliation. Was it a legal one or an illegal one?
Well, you never know now,
I
right?
The fifth.
I want to talk quickly about Bill Moyers. Have you seen this 90-minute documentary?
Yes, I watched. I was sitting in airports. I was in Vancouver over the weekend and flying and had a lot of downtime changing flights. And I watched this thing online and read the transcript. And it is something that should be shown in journalism schools around the country because it is a searing indictment of the mainstream media and lays the blame for, Bush got us into this war. There's no question about that. But the path was strewn with rose petals by the media, at least according to Bill Moyers.
And what I find interesting is Judith Miller, who was a number one at the New York Times leading the coverage up and leading up to the war in Iraq, was fired in disgrace by the New York Times because she was basically accused of carrying the water for the administration. And the New York Times, ask anybody, they say, oh, it's a liberal rag trying to bring down the president.
That's true. And really, the it has less to do with a liberal or conservative than it does reporters wanting access to, and getting scoops, wanting to be first. And so they will, if somebody, if the administration can gin up an atmosphere in which it's providing you with sources and experts like Chalabi, for instance,
right,
and you have special access to that person, you're gonna tend to go with that story. And the thing that Moyers brought out was that there were a couple of guys working for the Knight Ridder Washington Bureau who were actually doing shoe leather reporting and finding all kinds of doubts about WMD. These guys weren't on Meet the Press. They weren't on the talk shows. Their stories were not getting on the front pages of the nation's newspapers, and Knight Ridder serves 32 papers, and even some of Knight Ridder's papers weren't using the stories that these guys were writing, and they had it right. And you never heard of these guys, Warren Strobel and Jonathan Landay.
I will also say this, and I've said this to soldiers back from Iraq. At that time, you were in a newsroom. I was in talk radio. You couldn't criticize anybody. If you criticized management, emails, voicemails, neighbors on the street, friends, coworkers, dogs, all threw, vegetables at you. Because it was just that climate was you were not allowed to question anything.
Yeah. And Phil Donahue was told that he had to have on two conservatives for every liberal. He had on his talk show, and they told Phil that he counted as two liberals.
So what, he needed four conservatives on his show?
Yeah, something like that.
All right, where can we see this Bill Moyers documentary?
You can go to pbs.org, and it's called Bill Moyers Journal, and there's a link there to that. And you can watch it in video. You can download the transcript. He now has podcasts. It's a terrific piece of work, and it's not that it's all the material is all that fresh. It came from other sources as well. It's been reported, but Moyers puts it together in a very effective way.
All right. He also takes to task Tim Russert as well, huh?
Dan Rather, Tim Russert, a lot of the big stars, George Will, they all look stupid.
All right.
In this thing.
Interesting. All right. Dick Weiss, weissright.com, weissswrit.com. You're with us every Monday. Thanks. Have a good week.